Blog Talk Radio.
This is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is March 31st, 2010. I can't believe that this month is over and done with already. It's crazy. Time is going by so fast. Wow. Okay, everyone, stardishradio.net is up and running. Still tweaking out some bugs, but make sure you check it out nonetheless. Leave me some feedback if you got any ideas. Guest ideas, shoot me an email through the contact button. Tomorrow, April 1st, is Stardish Radio's second anniversary on Blog Talk Radio, so I'm really excited about this show. I'm going to be celebrating the anniversary with an appearance by legendary daytime actor David Canary, who's played Adam Chandler, Stuart Chandler, on All My Children for the last 26 and a half years. He has retired his role, and we're going to be talking about that and so much more, and that is tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for the Stardish Radio second anniversary, so make sure you come back for that. Tonight's guest is no stranger to the daytime world either, having starred in now extinct Guiding Light, and of course General Hospital as the brooding Prince Nicholas Cassadine, as well as many primetime spots such as The Closer, CSI, Miami, Bones, Monarch Cove, but he's stepping over to the dark side because blood sucking is where it's at these days on TV, and if Mystic Falls has not had enough hot vampires on their canvas, they're adding one more, yes. I want you to please welcome the incredible Mr. Steven Martinez.
Hi, how are you?
I'm Steven, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well, just actually overcoming allergies. They're really bad here in Nashville, but yeah, so I'm good.
Oh, wow, sorry to hear that. Yeah, 'tis the season. Spring is amongst us.
Yes, it is. Well, I've only been back in Nashville now for, a day and a half. I was away for the first, I moved here three and a half months ago, been gone for about 2.5 months. So it's my first time back. I just got back from L.A., so you know that kind of seasonal change is a little bit crazy because we had 80-degree weather out there in L.A. and came back here to nice weather, but, pretty bad pollen, so.
I wish you well with that. I got to say, I've been pretty lucky with stuff like that. I never had allergies, and nor do I want them, so let them stay.
Exactly.
Well, let's just do a little background with you. It's been a while, for me anyway, to see you in other things. I mean, I saw you on The Closer, which I love. We spoke about that before, and once I went back and I looked at it again, I said, oh, God, how did I not remember that? Because I'm old. Why? So I'm going to chalk it up to the fact that I turned 40 recently, so the memory goes
okay.
Well after that.
Well, I'm getting close to this. I'm a little bit worried then.
I got to wear reading glasses now. Are you kidding me? It was like literally a month before my 40th birthday, and I went for the eye doctor. They're like, oh, yeah, you need those readers now. I'm like, oh, wow. All right. Wasn't bad enough. All right, so let's do a little background about you. Tell me a little bit about your background. You're from St. Louis. I know that. Tell me about how you got into acting, because I know that wasn't what it was supposed to be originally.
Yeah, it was, God, this story's been told so many times, but every time I tell it, it seems so new in itself, because I just, this whole thing that's happened with me in terms of becoming an actor in the career that I've had is still so very surreal to date. Every time I walk on a set, I'm in awe that I actually get to say to myself that I really get to do this for a living. But my lifelong goal was to be a soccer player, and that was pretty much my dream, what I was bred to do since I was 2 years old, and that was something that Dad and I shared for many years, and obviously until he passed away in '94. And after his passing, my career in soccer ended with a pretty raunchy knee injury, and so after being laid up, for about a year, I did a bunch of stuff. I went to the Air Force. That didn't work out for me. It just wasn't really what I had in mind or wanted. And then from that point, I was just kind of a lost little boy, being 19, 20, and having been a little bit sheltered, so to speak, in my childhood, I was sitting on the couch one day in 1999. It was Christmas. It was around December 29th. And I'm watching a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. And I sat on the couch. Happens to be probably my all-time favorite movie. And I don't know. I got to the point where Jimmy was questioning his being ever born. And it was very strange because when I got to that point, I started bawling. And my mother looked at me and she said, "Well, what's wrong?" And I said, "You know what? I'm leaving." And she says, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm leaving tomorrow." She says, "For where?" And I said, I'm going to L.A. And my family thought I was crazy. I mean, it's quite a big jump coming from Missouri and having never really talked about being an actor or you know, I think deep down inside it was always something that I've always wanted to do. But soccer was such prevalence in my life. And so, yeah, I took off 8 hours later, bagged my little Eagle talent, took off 8 hours later. And, and here I am 10 years later. So
that's crazy.
But that
makes Hollywood. But you know what? That's a good. That's like a. Those are the Hollywood stories you like to hear about. You know, because there's a lot of unfortunate ones that start off like that and don't always end up like where you are.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's such a challenge, you know. And I think the hardest part about even leaving town anywhere is everybody, and anybody that's from the Midwest or even the South for that matter, they're pretty familiar with that. Is, you know, you kind of live in a little bit of a shoebox world, and you go to school, you graduate, you get married, you have a sales job, and your life is pretty painted for you. I mean, it's a pretty, not that the picture is wrong or anything's bad with it, it's great if you like that kind of lifestyle. But, you know, for me and for the people who are a little bit creative and like to be outside that box a little bit, you have to take the plunge and you have to leave. And I think everybody talks about leaving, and
right.
People really don't ever do it. And so for us that do and actually get the shot to do this for a living, it's nice to see that Hollywood gives us the chances, I guess you could say.
Well, when you got to Hollywood, what kind of jobs did you do, odd jobs? Because everybody has to do them. Because didn't you just, like, have $200 in your pocket and nothing else? What was your plan?
Well, I didn't really have one. I knew no one. And so I slept in my car at sunset in Orange Grove, actually, in front of this really pretty two-story white-pillared house. And my car ended up getting repossessed, so car got repoed, and so I actually took my bags and everything I had with me, and I put it behind a dumpster, which is right literally on the same intersection, but it was right behind like a 7-Eleven-ish, and that's where I slept for a couple of weeks, and trying to figure out where I was going to go, what I was going to do, and ended up getting a little tipsy one night, ran into someone who, you know, didn't really say they were going to make me a star, but they gave me a shot. And my first couple auditions were a little children's movie called God the Sea Monster, and then another movie called Backlash, which was Justice at the time with Jim Belushi and Charles Durning, and then General Hospital. And ironically enough, I booked all three. And actually, while I was on General Hospital, I was still working, managing a restaurant, which was Wesley Snipes' restaurant at the time. And I was still working. So I tried to juggle that for the first 6 months on the show, and it was impossible, and I was trying to be loyal to the restaurant. And so I would have to tell you, like, the first month that I was there, I really didn't do anything but try to figure out how the industry worked or how that city worked or how I was going to even meet anyone for that matter.
Right.
And it just, God willing, it happened to work in my favor, so.
Yeah, it just amazes me, these stories that I hear about guys like you or girls that do the same thing. And it's like, God, then you leave yourself. I mean, because that just shows how passionate you are about what you want to do. I mean, that's not just, I think I might want to toy with it a little bit. If you're going to leave your home with $200 in your pocket and essentially be homeless until you get that job, that's a passion, and I give you a lot of props for that. That took a lot of courage. It was very brave to do. So I'm very happy that it worked out for you like that.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think, you know, most importantly, you know, my father's looking out for me and the other people that have passed in my life, and of course, you can't leave God out. Without God, we've got really, really no direction. So.
this is true. He does not give us more than we can handle. So I completely believe that. So now, a little bit about General Hospital I want to talk. I really love Joe Znikler from General Hospital. Not saying anything bad about Tyler Christopher, but I prefer you as Nicholas. How did you come into that role? I know you had to do an audition, but you know that you were going in as a recast, and if so, how was the fans' response to that? Because I know, you know, fans in soaps normally don't like recast, but yours happened to be pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was kind of funny. In daytime, I was starting to get the recast name guy, and again, after, you know, with Guiding Light 2. But ironically enough, if I'm not mistaken, when I first went in for General Hospital, I actually went in for the character of Juan, Michael Salcedo's character.
Okay.
And it just happened to be that evidently, I guess, Tyler's contract was coming up, and you know, he wanted to step out and pursue other things. And so they ended up calling me back to that character and offered me a test deal. And, you know, I to be honest with you, I never watched the show. My mother was an adamant fan. She hadn't missed an episode in probably 34 years, 35 years at the time.
Right.
And the funny part was, before I had actually tested for that character, my mom called me up and said, "You would be a perfect Nicholas. You should try to get in for that character." And so I didn't tell her, obviously, when I booked the show, and I let her just, you know, turn on the TV. But I think recasting in a lot of ways can be beneficial, mm-hmm. especially for somebody new to a show. Because mm-hmm. I was so new to the industry that I just wanted to go in and try to develop something that was my own and not really step in the exact same footsteps of what Tyler did. And for those that enjoyed me, it was a great run, and I had a great time, and I thank everybody for that. But recast, you know, I think I had a great time doing it. I couldn't ask for a better character to play on the show, to be honest with you. And it was all I really knew on the show. So for me, I didn't really look at it as a recast. I looked at it as just going in, the character's new. And ironically enough, from what I believe to have seen over the years, they actually did write the character completely opposite of what the character used to be. So for me, I think I did my job in terms of what the character, where I wanted the character to go. And I liked the darker mm-hmm. Nicholas, you know. So mm-hmm. that's my opinion. So.
And it was a great one. Now, when you had to leave that role, was it by choice or was it because Tyler wanted to come back?
Well, I don't know how I answer this without I've never been one that really likes to burn bridges in the industry, but I had a falling out with
many bridges.
No, I had a falling out with ABC. We were in negotiations for a good 3 months and couldn't make a deal. And ironically enough, nobody really knows the whole story, what really happened, but ironically enough, I went to work and it was our 40th anniversary, if you don't remember, and the 40th mm-hmm. anniversary, we did a big cast photo shoot, and they actually brought me upstairs to do the photo shoot. I did evidently ended up being my last two shows that morning, and I wrapped around noon, and so it was lunch break, and everybody went to take our 40th anniversary cast photo. So after the photo shoot, I'm on my way home. And I get a phone call that from Jill Fern Phelps that I was fired, that today was my last day. And now mind you, I had just gotten on the show. I finished my last two episodes. I thought we were renegotiating. I guess we came in with a figure too high. They couldn't match and all this stuff. So meanwhile, they were negotiating with Tyler, and I had no idea.
Right.
So when they called me to tell me that it was my last day, ironically, we know why. Because mm-hmm. we were recasting with Tyler. And so the thing that hurt more than anything, to be honest, was I watched them do it to a lot of other people. And doing it to me mm-hmm. was fine because I was really a nobody. But when I saw that stuff happen to, like, Stuart Damon and John Engel and the people who were such a major foundation of that show for so long,
yeah.
it was almost gut-wrenching and also relieving at the same time that I could now leave and I could go maybe elsewhere and be, you know, maybe broaden my horizons a little bit as an actor and be respected a little bit more or be wanted more for that matter. And, you know, ironically enough, it did happen with Guiding Light, but what hurt them more than anything upon my breakup, if you will, with what General Hospital was.
Mm-hmm.
When they sent out the 40th anniversary photo, they sent me mine with me in it, and they sent the cast with me out of it. So it was kind of a bit of a stab in the back, and you know, and it hurt. It really did hurt, and I had several cast members that had told me about it. You know, they all kind of felt the same way. You know, whether everybody liked each other on the show or not wasn't even the issue, but it's just the fact that at the end of the day, it was bad business. It's not really what you should have done, and so a lot of the cast members defended me on it, and but it hurt. So, but that's my little ending with General Hospital. But
you know,
I love everybody there.
Yeah, you know, and I have to say, I mean, I won't mention any names, but I've talked to several actors who've pretty much got their walking papers in the same fashion that you did, and it's damn low and dirty to do stuff like that.
Unfortunately, it's business, you know, and
exactly.
Sometimes shows do cutbacks, and it's just the nature of the beast, you know.
Exactly. That's what we get into. But when that was a hard lesson for you, being so new to it all, you know. So.
Well, I'll tell you, to be honest, the greatest lesson for me was, you know, I was young when I first got on that show, and I had such a really, really great run with Nicholas and Gia, and I was working so much, and you know, having mm-hmm. billboards up here and there, and to be quite honest with you, I mean, being young and having that kind of exposure, it did affect me a little bit, and so for me it was kind of a excuse the expression, but it was quite a bit of an ass kicking for me when I realized, okay, I am actually replaceable, and I'm not, you know, that important, and so it was nice, because now, you know, I try to be, and not that I wasn't professional at the time, it was just different, you know. Now that I'm a man, I was a boy then, and I'm a man now, and so every time I step on that set, you know, not only am I over-prepared, I'm always present, I'm always there, I'm always professional, and just ready to work. And so I think it taught me a lesson, so.
Exactly, it was a good learning experience, so yeah. That's great. I mean, I'm glad that you got a tougher, thicker skin from that, so let's move on to what everybody is talking about now, Vampire Diaries. I couldn't be more excited. Excited when I saw that. Were you are you a fan of this whole vampire genre that is just taking over television and the movies right now?
Is this a trick question? I did not watch any of the Twilights. I actually did not see Vampire Diaries until I was in Nashville, and my manager called me and said I had booked it, and she kind of freaked out, because it's to be honest, it's her favorite show.
Uh-huh.
And so once she told me that, I was like, okay, something's got to be cool about this show, because, you know, like, I've seen True Blood, and I like True Blood, and so I turned it on, and ironically enough, the show is fantastic. It's written very well. It's obviously portrayed very well. And it's shot amazing, and for such a new entity for a network, it has done such great things. And of course, I think we all agree that it wouldn't have done so well if it weren't for, you know, sagas like Twilight and True Blood having come out and done what it's done. But it's such a huge trend right now, and I think it's fantastic, because for us as actors, it's so cool to play way, way, way outside the box. You know, it's almost like, you know, right now for me, it's almost like playing Alice in Wonderland, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's so opposite of what we're out there in comparison to what I've ever done. And
right.
However, the only thing that does work into my favor is, you know, I always play that dark, sort of brooding, sinister sort of guy. And that's my guy on this show. So. I'm in love with the show, to be honest with you, now that I've been a part of it and have caught it. I hope that my run there continues. So.
Well, the vampire you play, his name is Frederick. Is there anything that you can tell us about him, give us a little bit of background about him?
Frederick is, he's the bad boy. He's coming down to stir some things up. He is, from what I've been told, he's extremely, extremely sinister on camera. So I went to a place, you know, I lowered the octave of my voice. I just played things very simple. I played it as dark and as simple, and also, to be honest with you, as almost as charming as possible in the most mysterious way possible. So, I think the character is going to be hopefully somebody that they'd like to see again. And you know, from what I've told, what they've been told, I guess I fulfilled what my job is there so thus far on the show. And I don't want to divulge too much, but all I can tell you is he's extremely dark, he's extremely sinister, and he's extremely dangerous.
Okay, so then what everybody can take from that is that he probably is going to be giving Damon a run for his money, because Damon is right now that character, except he's just a little bit more comical about his edge.
Yeah, let's just say Damon met his match.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. I have some questions in the chat room, and then I'm going to get to the phones. This comes from Vampire Diaries fan, and they say, a standard Vampire Diaries question is, are you going to be shirtless on screen?
You know, it's funny. I had a feeling that question was going to come up. It was funny because when I booked it, the first thing I said is, oh, God, I hope I'm not shirtless, because this is the off-season for me. So in my off-season, I'm a little bit, you know, under shape, if you will, not that I've been told so
yet.
Far. So.
Not yet. Okay. Well, not yet. So we'll definitely.
Not yet. Thank you very much.
Yet. You know what? Hey, I watched the show. I've been watching it since the beginning. Everybody is shirtless eventually, as far as the men go. So it's only a matter.
I better get to work then.
Yeah. You better get in there, buddy. There's another question. I want to pull myself back up real quick. Vampire Diaries fan also wanted to know, what is the relationship between actors and producers? I guess they're trying to get a little bit more insight of, I don't know, like how much input you guys have with each other between actors and producers and writers and your experience. Okay.
Well, it's funny because I'm actually now more intrigued with becoming closer with producers and writers, because I'm now producing myself. And so what I've noticed on Vampire Diaries, the cast is extremely close with all the producers, and the producers are friendly enough to where you can approach them, and they are ones you can talk to. For instance, my experience at the closer is extremely, extremely tight-knit. We are such a tight-knit group that, you know, our producers are our writers as well, and our writers and our producers, since they are the same team, they are so about their crew and their cast members, and they're all about the show. And it's so neat because at the closer, it's a family that's been working together for years. I mean, Michael Robin and Greer Shepherd and James Duff, they have kept everyone in their circle, you know, and brought all of these people to work on the closer, because it was such a great family, if you will. And so when you have that kind of relationship, it makes it so much easier with actors and producers to work together. You know, I've heard horror stories. Fortunately for me, I've not had many, if any at all. I've always maintained a good relationship with producers and writers.
Right. Okay. So I hope that answered your question. Oh, my God, they're laughing in the chat room. They're going, not shirtless. Oh, my God, no. That's just, like the thing, Steven.
That's not my thing, so.
Yeah. Before I get to you guys on the phones, I just got to touch on the closer. What's going on with that right now and Ricardo?
Well, we are, obviously, we just started pre-production, so the show goes back into production last week of April. Right now, we haven't heard anything in terms of what's going on with the character. The character is still same guy. He's still that nit that won't go away, the thorn in the side.
Fun.
But what's that?
He's fun. He's a fun character.
He is. I'm having a blast playing him. I've been so blessed to be a part of that show and to be working with the likes of Kira and G.W. Bailey and Tony Dennis, mm-hmm. and even the producers for that matter. And it's been going into my third season now with the show, I'm shocked that I'm still there, and it's such a blessing to be a part of it, and I can't thank the fans of the show and the producers and the powers that be there enough, you know.
Right. Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to head over here to the phones. This is Rodney calling from California. Rodney, say hi to Steven.
Is that Rodney? Yeah. I think it is. It is,
yeah,
isn't it? How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man.
I'm so glad you're going to be on Vampire Diaries. We loved you on The Closer, too. You're awesome.
Thank you so much. Tomorrow night.
What?
Tomorrow night.
Very good. So I just want you to know that you got me to have, like, the best friend ever from knowing you, because Super Soap Weekend, and then we met him again at GH Weekend when we hung out with you at the Sportsman's Lodge,
mm-hmm.
and there was these two girls that we all hang out with and stuff, and we've been best friends ever since, and we go on vacations and travel and do everything together.
That's great to hear. I was, you know, at the time that the fan club was around and the people that we kind of, you know, brought in the circle, that was kind of my main goal, was to bring people together like that, and, you know, Robin and Marcia and everybody that's been a part of it have all remained friends since, and I think that's such a great thing. And
yeah,
I'm
awesome.
Proud of you guys.
They're the best friends I could have, so it's really awesome.
That's awesome, man.
Because of you.
Thank you.
All right, well, keep up the great work. It was great hearing from you.
You too, man.
All right, take care.
All right.
It's Rodney.
Yes.
Yes. Rodney told me that story. I was so excited because I only met Rodney last year. I did a soap cruise with Bob Guinea last year too.
Oh, my buddy Bob, huh?
yeah, and that's how I met Rodney. But I mean, he was a listener of the show, and we met, and he told me the story on how he and these girls became best friends because of you, and I thought that was awesome.
I love that. I really do. And that whole group that's been a part of, you know, StephenMartinez.com and kind of my whole, you know, they called it the Commandos at the time. It was neat to see all of those people become so close because they're all still in contact today. And I think that's just remarkable. So, and not to expand on it much, but I think that's the greatest thing in this industry that we have the possibility of doing, and is using our name or using, you know, what we do for a living to either bring people together or help the world or, you know, just put a smile on a kid's face for that matter. So it's nice to be a part of that in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Now, do you miss the fan events?
I'm sorry?
Do you miss the fan events? Because, you know, being on soaps, you got to do a lot of fan events.
I actually was just having this conversation via text message with Robin. I really do. I think it was a few weeks back we were talking about that, or maybe it was Marsha, I don't remember. But I do. That was the coolest part about daytime, was doing Super Soap Weekend and getting up there and being able to perform and just interact with the 40,000 plus people that were there. And if you ask anybody that knows me, I was always the first person in the sun, and I was always the last person to leave. And I wanted to make sure that everybody was there would get the same treatment in terms of the signature or the paper or the picture, whatever they wanted. And you know, that was the coolest thing about having being in that medium, because you do get to meet them. And I think, you know, eventually one day, but hopefully there'll be other stuff that I'll be able to attend to. So.
Well, that's good. I know the Vampire Diaries are starting that now, but you have to promise me something. Being that you come from soap roots and you know how important it is to stay in contact with your fans, don't get too big for your britches and always stay in touch with the fans.
That's a promise I've made to myself and to everybody, and I know that for the past, you know, couple of years I did kind of disappear for a little while. I was going through a lot of stuff personally you know, life's gotten so much better, and we're going to revamp the website now that my music is taking off, which I'm sure was something we'll touch in a bit. But I'm going to definitely start making the effort more to post on the website and become more in touch with everybody again, because I do miss everybody from my website, and I do miss, you know, people being enthralled with what's been happening in my career and being able to. Mm-hmm. To even, you know, relay that to them. So yeah, keep a lookout, because I'll be in touch more.
Oh, perfect. Good. I mean, I love it. You know, I had a couple of actors who started out on soaps, or when they first got onto a soap, and I invited them to come on to kind of interact with fans, just to let them get the understanding of what it is, you know, for the ones that didn't do events yet and stuff like that.
Right.
It saddens me when I see them kind of trickle off and not have too much time for them anymore, you know, as they did in the very beginning when they wanted that acceptance. But there are certain ones that I can say that will always be around. And I can honestly tell, not having met you a day in my life, by the tone in your voice, that you are one of those people.
I will do everything in my power. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And anybody that does know me, I always remember a name and a face. So, yeah.
So actually, that you remembered Rodney. That's impressive. Let's talk about your music. I had no idea how musically talented you were. I mean, you have an awesome voice.
Thank you. I I try. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
So what's going on with that?
A lot's transpired. I don't know if my producer may be listening in now. If Rob's out there, hey, Rob. Again, very similar to moving to L.A. I took a gamble and I took a risk and was sitting on the couch about 3 months ago, and went through some stuff. And I said, you know what? I'm taking off, and I packed up and moved to Nashville 3 days later. This was something, and I think everybody that does know me and has followed my career in the beginning, they always knew that music was, in some way, shape, or form, part of a passion of mine. And I never really, to be honest, I never really knew where it'd go, what would happen with it. So coming out here to Nashville, within just a few days, I met my producer now, Rob Rappaport, at Better Angels Music and Better Angels Publishing. And sure enough, I'm now a recording artist here in Nashville. And the single's going to be released around the first week of May. Right after the ACM. Yeah, and then the album's going to be coming out late summer, around August. That's about where we're thinking right now. We're actually in the studio 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, trying to finish up the first half of the album. Here we are. I'm just in as much shock as everybody else, to be honest. So, But Better Angels Music is fantastic, and Rob, my producer, is all about, you know, he's all about just great music, and he's one of the most amazing people, one of the most talented people, and one of the most real people I think I've ever met, not only in my life, but in my career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's been a blessing for me to actually be a part of Better Angels, and I think it's going to be such a long-lasting relationship, and I truly look forward to the future with them. So.
Now, you have a website still up on for MySpace with your music on there. I mean, it's out of date, but it's still up there, and people can still go back and listen.
I know at BetterAngelsMusic.com, they have a link to that specific site, and the only reason they used that site was just because, as an artist up underneath their label, you know, they wanted to have something that the fans can hear and people that are interested can hear. So, obviously, Out of the Rain is still one of my favorite songs, the song about my father and a couple other songs on there. But the stuff is old now. I'm in that rock country genre. My stuff is like Keith Urban meets Ra, meets mm-hmm. Chris Daughtry sort of sound. So, like I was saying, we are gonna revamp the website. Once we revamp the website, it's going to be both music and acting. It's going to also be linked to BetterAngelsMusic.com. So if anybody's interested about Better Angels, please check them out. So everything is being up. Everything happens so fast that everything's just kind of, yeah. You know, we're catching up with everything. So.
Right. Now, I'm getting a question in the chat room. They want to know if there will be a revisit for Monarch Cove. Will there be a Monarch Cove 2?
Sorry, not to laugh. You know, to go back to Australia, I hope there is. But I don't think we're going to come anywhere near having that show again. It was kind of a cluster. It was a great experience in Australia. But no, I don't think they're going to have anything near that again.
Right? All right, let me come on over here to area code 856. This is New Jersey, Nivelle J. Lee.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, Steven, nice to talk to you.
How you doing?
Good, good, good. How about yourself? How you doing?
You know, I'm hanging in there. Things are good.
Yeah, things are good. Just listening to you talk, it just seems like you're just like this laid back, chill, just type guy. That's awesome. I love it. That's great.
I try to be. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I do have a question for you, and if this was touched upon between you and Joanne, please, obviously, stop me right in the middle of my sentence. I don't care. But I did watch you on General Hospital as Nicholas, as well as the guiding light when you took over the role of Tony from Jordy Villasuso, and you did a very, very good job in the role. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
By the way, you're welcome. And my question was, like, when you did those two roles and you came in and took them over from popular actors such as Tyler Christopher and Jordy, do you go in, you don't go in and try to make it like how they proceeded, you go in and make it your own? Do you have any, like, reservations, like, will the fans like me when I take over these parts or anything, or you just go ahead, you do your
thing? Well, don't get me wrong. I absolutely have reservations, and I think just like any of us stepping into any role, even if it's a recast or not, we all have reservations about what it is, you know, we can bring to the table and do bring to the table, because what we do on screen or what we do in front of the camera may not relay on screen the way we feel it is, or vice versa. It may, to us, feel bad, but it may relay on screen perfect. So my reservations were always a little bit different. They were obviously about how are the fans going to accept me. I think the second time around it was a little bit easier for me because I had a lot more confidence in myself. I had a lot more confidence in my ability to be an actor. And to be quite honest with you, I loved the character of Tony. I just did not have, with John Conboy as an executive producer at the time, they fought to get me on the show, and unfortunately when I came to the show they weren't quite ready. So I didn't really do a whole lot for the first 6 months. And so it kind of didn't really put a bad taste in my mouth, but by the time I finally got to work with Ellen Wheeler and the character started developing, I was so much more at ease and really had no reservations at the time at all, because I was, that's why I did the whole character shaving the head thing and all this. It was kind of my thing and wanted to revamp this character entirely. And in Nicholas's case, I absolutely was petrified, because I'd never done anything like that before. I mean, I was, because I was working with Tony Geary and Jeannie Francis and Stephen Nichols. I mean, the who's who of daytime. And so I was,
yeah.
I was petrified. Again, I still say this today, and I think everybody will remember in interviews in the past, Tony Geary was like an angel for me. That man is one of the most amazing men I've ever met in my life. And he was just one that really kind of took you under his wing and would just help you kind of trust in yourself. And the biggest key that I learned was listening. So once I kind of got that grasp, I didn't really, not that I didn't care, but I was not reserved at all anymore at that point, because it was now my choice to have to revamp the character and again make it my own. So,
absolutely. And like you said, you know, you had all that wonderful experience on GH working with those wonderful actors, and as well as going on to the guy, like, look where you are now. Look what you're doing right now. That's awesome.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
I don't think you're trying. I think you're already succeeding. There is no trying, ifs, ands, buts about it. But
right. Definitely one of my favorites thus far, Neville. I have to let you know, Stephen, Neville does a show on Blog Talk Radio also called Buzzworthy Radio. So we definitely do a lot of cross promotions and stuff. So just
great.
To let you know who you're talking to.
Great. Yeah, make sure, please. Yeah, I'm and please, you know, post this out there, too. They just added me on Celebrity Tweet, and I've never done this whole Twitter thing.
And
it's kinda like
I
tripping.
Have it up.
Wait, you're now on Twitter? What?
Well, no, it's so funny, man, because, like, they you know, I've never done, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff, and I actually just started, like, my own personal Facebook account just so I can keep in touch, because I've been traveling a lot with a very small group of people, and then we have the fan page that we're setting up, too, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this whole Twitter thing. So Celebrity Tweet, ironically enough, put me on Celebrity Tweet, so I'm not on, like, I'm on Twitter, but I'm on that whole celebrity thing, and it's so crazy because you start off and all of a sudden, like, you know, every day I'm getting these emails of who's following me now. And I, you know, I never thought that I'd want to, like, drive and say, hey, I'm stuck on the traffic on 405 and tell people that, you know. But it's been kind of fun. It's been cool. So it's also a nice way to keep in touch with people and also the fans, too, if you respond to them every once in a while. And it makes them feel a little bit, you know, closer to you. So it's kind of a cool little thing.
I just started following him just now. Yes, I did.
I see that. He just, yeah. I'm following him, too. I have him under Stardish Radio and under my personal one also, under Kubi 1205. But when I was doing a little research on you earlier, it popped up. Steven Martinez is on Celebrity Twitter. And for those of you who don't know what Celebrity Twitter is, I'll put the link in the chat room. It's actually a directory of celebrities who are on Twitter. So Steven
yeah.
is officially in the celebrity directory of Twitter. So, and then you can go and find others as well, other celebrities to follow. But I was the same way. I was not a Twitter person. I always said, oh, no, I'm only going to do it for the show. I'll update
I'm
people.
I'm so addicted now.
Now
so
I'm on it.
It is very, very addicting. You're right.
Oh, yeah. I said I wouldn't do it, but I'm on it now, and it's ridiculous, and it's I became one of those people so that I always made fun of. So, but I'm glad.
My name's Joanne, and I am a Twitter-holic. Hi, Joanne. That's what you must be.
Exactly.
There he is. Yes. Do you know when the regular Twitter account will be a verified account? Some are questioning if it's you. Like we just said, at Steven Martinez, I'm putting it in the chat room, at Steven Martinez is his official Twitter account because he is in the celebrity directory. But there's a way, I don't know how, but there is a way that you go through Twitter where you get verified and then it shows up on your profile verified. This way they know that the fans know that it is you and not an imposter because there's so many imposters on Twitter.
Right. I think mine is verified because I think I had to send celebrity tweets some stuff and so I think it's verified.
Okay, it is. But put it in there, and you heard it from him here. You can't get it better than that. You don't need a check mark. You got it from the man himself. It is his account. So there we go as far as Twitter goes. Navelle, I'm going to get to some other callers.
Absolutely. Sounds great.
All
take
right.
Thanks. I'm having a blast. I could do this all night. So.
All right, Navelle, hang on. All right, this next caller is Linda from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Linda. Hello. Where'd you
go? Hi, Linda. How are you?
Uh-oh. Nope. I think I lost her. Wait a minute. Live radio. Love it.
Yes.
Are you there?
Joe?
Oh, I hear you now. Okay.
Hello.
I got you.
I don't know what happened. I think I may have hit something on my phone. How are you guys doing?
Good, Linda. How are you?
Hey, good. Congratulations on all of your success.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, my God. I know. I think I'm, like, the only one who's not Twittering.
Excuse me.
Oh, my
I was just having some water at that point, and you actually just made me joke. Yeah, I mean, I was like you until about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Congratulations, and you're like on my, one of our most favorite shows now. So
that's great to hear.
I
hope I can stay on there. So
I hope so too. I hope so too. It's such a great show, and it looks like a fun young cast. So it's like you're just gonna fit right in there.
Yeah, it is. It's a great cast. Everybody, their work ethic's great, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, and
just wanted to
call in and give you support. And Joanne, thank you so
yes.
much for bringing him on.
Oh, anytime, girl. You know I love
yeah.
having hot men on my show. Come on now.
I think yes, you're very good about that, definitely.
Well, thank you so much, Linda.
You bet.
Steven, I have to touch on something that you posted on Twitter, because this is what you have to remember. Twitter is kind of like the devil in a way, because once you put it out
yes,
there, it's
out. I know.
What is this here? You went cold turkey, non-smoking for 9 days now?
I did. I actually did slip yesterday, but
mm-hmm.
but right now, yeah, I'm quitting. I'm quitting because I promised myself that when we get closer to release on the single that I'm done. And I'm doing my best. So, yes.
Yeah, cold turkey is a real hard way to go. I smoked since I was 13. And,
well, I think everything's willpower, you know. So I think if you're strong-willed, you can pull it off. I'll be honest with you. The first 72 hours was excruciating. I was like the devil the first 24 hours.
Really?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you what made me stop. Not that this is going to make you stop, but I say this to everybody just for shock value. I was sick. I had a cold, and I had to go to the ER a couple weeks and to find out what was wrong with me because nobody could figure it out. It was just a big mess of stuff. And I went in, and they did a chest x-ray, and they said, oh, Joanne, there's nothing wrong with you, blah, blah, blah. Next day, I got a phone call. Come back to the ER, Joanne. I had cancer.
No kidding.
Yep, and that's what made me
stop.
That day. And but you know what? Even after hearing that, this is how addicting it is, and people have to understand. Even after hearing that, I went for months without smoking. But truth be told, after my chemotherapy stopped, I went back to smoking. It wasn't lung cancer. I was like, it's not like lung cancer. It's not going to do nothing. Blah blah blah. But I went back to smoking. So it is hard, and it is willpower. But it's 5 years now.
You know, it's actually very funny that you say that because I was one of the first people when I quit to say, I cannot believe people who deny the fact that they're addicted to smoking because
mm-hmm.
I was absolutely 100% an addict. And
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to be one of those smokers who quit that now preach to people. but you know, I now realize how horrible this is. So, you know, I agree with you, and great for you to quit too, and I'm glad that you're cancer-free. Hold on one second.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so sorry, I was actually saying hi to someone.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's all right. That's what I love about doing these interviews on the phone. But, yeah, it is a process, and, you know, you have to want to do it in order to do it. And if your mind is not mentally prepared to go into that mode, it's not going to work.
Right.
You know, so best of luck to you with that. And it's a hard road, but you know what? Absolutely, it'll work. It'll work.
Right.
I have every confidence in that because we want to hear that sexy, raspy voice sing. Because anybody, I put the link to the MySpace page in there. So if you guys, while we're doing this, go take a look at it and just listen to the song. I am getting a question here, well, a comment. You are on websites in a lot of other countries, fans in Germany, Italy, Brazil, etc. How do you keep in touch and connect with them? Well, I think we just kind of touched on that a little bit. He's going to be a Twitterer.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of cool to be able to do, you know, I know that a lot of these websites are sites that I'm not, you know, affiliated in any way, shape, or form, but I think it'd be very cool in some way, shape, or form to have some kind of massive link for all of them to where, you know, if I was to post on one, I guess you're right, Twitter is now that way, but if I could post on, like, my website, for instance, that it would leak out to or link to everybody else's website, but it also kind of scares me a little bit, too. But so, yeah, Twitter, I think that's the best way.
You know, definitely, and, you know, and what people I want to make sure everybody understand also, some people, I've seen this with other fans, to do this with other actors, and I'm sure that you probably get it too. When you Twitter him certain questions and expect certain responses, that's not always possible because, you know, you got to remember when you're getting so many tweets a day, it's so tedious to sit there and read until, you know, and respond. It's very time-consuming, and I'm sure that they make their best effort to get back to as many people as they can. So that's why, you know, I'm glad for shows like this on Blog Talk Radio where you're able to call in and ask your question or post it in the chat room and hopefully get some answers via that way.
Yeah, I think there should be more shows like this. I think this is great.
Yeah, well, we have this one, and like Novell, you spoke to a little while ago, he does a show also like this, and there's a few others that are like that, and that's what it's all about with me, is the live interaction with the fans. This is from Doug Great One. Doug Great One. Oh, D-U-H-G-R.
Doug Great One. All right.
Okay, Doug Great One. Will you be doing any blood sucking on tomorrow's episode?
Tomorrow I am doing, I can't tell you that.
Come on.
He's not telling you that. The great one. Great.
Yeah, come on, the great one. You're so great. You should know. There's a couple. There's one little small thing on there, but not too much.
Yeah. Now, do we know, Stephen, this is a recurring role. Have you only done one episode so far?
No. My first episode premieres tomorrow, and then the 8th of April is the second one, and I cannot tell you anything else yet. So.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's fine. No, I won't. I don't like spoilers, so that's okay.
Right.
Better to find out as we watch. And yes, everyone who's just tuning in, I have guests in the chat room who didn't register, so I have no idea who you are. He is the vampire who is going to bring a match to Damon. So that should just give you a little insight on who Frederick is. Courtney in the chat room wants to know, what has been the acting scene that you are most proud of?
Wow. Okay. Acting scene I'm most proud of is there's a scene I did on Guiding Light with George Alvarez. It was a brother and son talk at the diner, at the little cafe. And it was a scene about Michelle and fighting for Michelle and how my brother didn't feel that you know it was a good match for me to do that to be with Michelle and to fight for Michelle the way I am. And I you know it was just one of those scenes where I didn't have to do anything. It became all about improvisation at the time. It was just a huge monologue and. I actually asked George before we took the scene to allow me just to completely cut him off and just go, and he did, and it just happened to be one of the most memorable scenes for me because I was so present and I was so in the moment that when I watch it back I'm still in shock that I did it because I love the scene so much, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then what is your dream role and dream co-star?
You know, well, that's kind of a there could be a million answers for that because my dream co-star obviously would be Johnny Depp by far. I think my dream role would be right now. I want to redo Top Gun. I think it's going to be. I want to remake the movie so bad myself I think, I'm a little bit too old to play Maverick, but that's a character ever since, you know, I've always idolized Tom and Johnny Depp, and so ever since I wanted to be an actor, that was obviously the epitome of being an actor, was you have to be Maverick, you know, I feel the need for speed, that whole thing, that was always my dream character. But to be able to stand opposite of Johnny Depp, I would have to say, he would be my ultimate. Also, Anthony Hopkins, Sean Connery. I mean, there's so many people that I could use and say down the line, but Johnny Depp, I think, is the best there is.
Mm-hmm. No, I can agree with you there. I'm a big fan of Johnny Depp since 21 Jump Street. That guy always has something about him, and to take it as far as he did,
right.
It's amazing. I still didn't see Alice in Wonderland yet. I'm probably hopefully going to see it this weekend, but. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And that would be awesome to see you do something. I always wish for the actors that come on and they say, oh, my dream would be this. I like pray for you guys. It's like, oh, let them get that role. You know, it's really cool. I like to hear your dreams like that.
Right.
Let's see. Now, do you still keep in touch with anyone from General Hospital? Okay. I'm sure you get that one a lot.
No, but I was actually in L.A. last week, and I was having lunch a couple weeks ago, and I was having lunch with my manager, and ironically enough, walks around the corner, and this girl gives me a hug, and it's Marissa, who played Gia, and I haven't seen Marissa in years, and so we finally got back in touch, and we're supposed to have lunch, you know, next time I'm out in L.A., but I know she's been busy, I've been busy, But it was so nice to see her again, and because I hadn't seen her or spoken to her since I left the show. So to be honest, I don't really. I mean, I have, you know, I had lunch
Corey Reynolds from the closer. I try to keep in touch with a lot of the closer people, especially Corey. I've kind of just been one who goes to work and goes home, to be honest.
No, that's all right. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I guess, you know, they feel once you're on a soap that, you know, that bond is always there, but that's not always the way that it is. So, I mean, I can totally understand that. That's funny because I see her occasionally on commercials and stuff, and it's like, oh, there goes Gia. Remember those days?
Right.
And those are fond memories of General Hospital for me. I don't know if you keep up with it at all, but I mean, it's doing all right, but it's not.
I think it'd be cool if they could do a Nicholas Gia reunion and bring her and I back for like, you know, 2 months just to play.
Yeah, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful? I think so, because there's a lot of people who, not saying nothing bad about Tyler Christopher, but there's a lot of people who really felt that you should have stayed in that role, and, you know, he's been doing it for a long time now, and he's, you know, embroiled in the Who's baby daddy storylines now, so I doubt that'll happen.
Right, right.
You know, they're giving Liz another kid, so that's, you know, three kids with three different men, and so whatever.
Right.
Typical soap stuff. Will he be doing any fan appearances for Vampire Diaries?
Will he be doing any what?
Any fan appearances for Vampire Diaries.
God, I mean, I would, from your lips to God's ears, would I love to do it. Absolutely. I know that they're now doing some stuff, and it would be so cool to be a part of it. And that, to be honest with you, that's up to you guys. You know, that's up to you guys contacting the network and sending emails and pushing for that. So, yeah, push for it, and I'm there 100%.
And you know what? That's where I have to throw in the loyalty of the soap fans who are still following you, which, you know, like Rodney and other people in the chat room. This is where you guys come in with the campaigns. You are very good at campaigns, writing campaigns, postcard campaigns. This is where you got to flood the Vampire Diaries producers and the network to let
Absolutely.
Them know after tomorrow's episode when we see Frederick for the first time, this is where you let them know that you want Frederick to be back. Because truthfully, the Vampire Diaries is just a soap opera, but in prime time. I mean, Damon needs, you know, truthfully, I mean, a soap opera is really just a story that continues on week to week, and that's what this is. And Damon needs that opposition. He can't just be the big bad wolf all the time, you know.
Yeah,
so
I think the show definitely needs another evil character on there for sure.
You do. You got to, whether they're going to pair them up or whether they're going to be, you know, in the opposition, it definitely has to be some kind of mixture in there somewhere. So I think that would be a really good idea. And, you know, and I'm already getting the messages up. We are going to start campaigning for Primetime Star events like Daytimes, and they're going to be contacting the network. So absolutely. I think that's the best way to keep Steven on The Vampire Diaries, which airs tomorrow night on the CW, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Check your local listings for the channels. Steven, this hour went by so daggone fast, I don't even know what to say. I'm just so thrilled that we got to work it out this time. And,
yes, and I apologize for last time.
And it happens all the time, for crying out loud. Bradford Anderson contacted me the day before yesterday to do a show, and he called in a half hour late. He forgot. He was like, hello, dude, you called me. It's like, it happens, you know, shit happens. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
But you have my number. You know how to get in touch with me. Please stay in touch and keep me updated what's going on with your life in the career. We will definitely be tuning in tomorrow night, and we're going to start those campaigns right after the show ends. You guys get your, you know, emails ready to send out to the network that we want to see more Frederick on The Vampire Diaries.
That's
on the
great.
CW network.
Well, thank
again,
you guys so much, and keep a lookout for the singles. So.
That's right. I put the website in the chat room. Keep a lookout for the single. Say the name again of the single.
We don't know. We haven't figured out which single it's going to be yet. I wrote a song called Goodbye LA. There's another one called If She Would Have Stayed. We're in the process of now figuring out what the single is going to be called. But, you know, keep in touch with BetterAngelsMusic.com, and they can we'll always have it updated on there as well. So
you let me know when it's going to drop, and we'll definitely put
Probably.
It out there without a doubt. Steven, before I let you go, can I get you to do a little promo for Stardish? Like, hi, this is Steven Martinez on Stardish Radio.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm recording right now, so
You're on.
Hey, this is Stephen Martin. Sorry, let's do it one more time. Hey, this is Stephen Martinez, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Perfect. Stephen, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you. You are just a delight.
Great. Thank
and
you so much, guys.
Please make sure you tune in tomorrow for Stardish Radio's second anniversary with the legendary David Canary. It's going to be a definite don't-miss show. Thanks, everyone. See you all tomorrow. Have a good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.